Order. I love you all the same. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Untamed Chef by way of Brilliant Ideas Radio. I am your host, Albert J. Hernandez. You can call me the Untamed Chef or Chef, whatever works for you. It's totally cool with me. I can't hear you anyway. We are the rock stars of the food radio world, and we are absolutely just trying to find ways to make this trendy, to make this creative, and to make this a very entertaining part of your week. So thank you so much for all the support from everybody and all the positive comments. Very grateful for that. And we are coming at you live from the agriculture capital of the world, the San Joaquin Valley. Very proud to call this place my home and to call this the place where I really got my start in doing what I do. So I'm absolutely grateful for that opportunity. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, who's an amazing mother, the best sous chef I ever worked with, Antonia. I love you so much. Your birthday was yesterday. I can't tell you her age because, well, we know we're not supposed to do that, right, guys? Exactly. And I want to give a special thanks to all of my own personal sponsors who make it possible for me to be able to, you know, do what I'm doing and keep growing. And that is a Sunbless Orchard, Madrid's Team Realty, T. Roxel's Bistro Blends, The Cellar Door, Visalia Quick Smog, Selzer and Dillard Funeral Chapel, the California Association of Agriculture and Labor, Visalia Grocery Outlet, Casa Grande Assisted Living, Cooking Sensations Gourmet Seasoning, the Monterey Sausage Company, to Organic Pastures, Raw Milk Dairy, absolutely amazing stuff. We'll have to talk about that more later on. And all the sponsors who are considering coming on board, I'd absolutely love to have you. This is an amazing opportunity for us to get the word out about how amazing your products are, but more importantly, how amazing you are. We just want to continue to share that with everybody. If you want to get at me, www.ajhtheuntamedchef.com, www.brilliantideasradio.com, www.foodietv.com. A couple things we have coming up. There's still a few seats left for Dining in Darkness at the Cellar Door here in beautiful Visalia, California. And that's coming up this following Thursday, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Nobody knows what the menu is except for me, but I promise you everything's going to be absolutely delicious. And Saturday, November 22nd, we will be demonstrating at the Visalia Grocery Outlet how to cook a complete Thanksgiving dinner in 30 minutes, a New Mexican rub turkey breast, whipped potatoes, spicy arrow covert, cranberry with a serrano chili dressing, and a brown quick demi gravy. Very educational show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And right before Thanksgiving, I'm thinking of doing it the following Saturday before Thanksgiving, Untamed on the Online will be launching. And that is my fully interactive 4K high-definition cooking class, 3 new recipes a month. The first one is obviously going to be for Thanksgiving. So we really want to be able to, you know, teach people how to cook. I want people in the kitchen. I want them to be comfortable when they're cooking, and it's absolutely important. So new things went on with Foodie TV. It looks like Foodie TV is now going to be going to all of your Apple devices. So Apple TV is going to be getting it. Amazon Fire is going to be getting this. So this is getting big really, really fast here, guys. So we definitely need the support. We need more sponsors to make this thing happen. Some of the things that are going to come with this kind of a sponsorship is I'm going to proudly be wearing my chef jacket with a beautifully professional-made logo of your business that I'm going to wear when I actually do the television show. So this is going to be amazing. We're going to use social media as much as possible to advertise businesses via Facebook, Instagram, my network of over 2,000 professionals. And these are all people who are willing and able to make things happen. So it is fantastic. The people who I follow and who follow me, they're all big names in what they do. I will use your product services as much as possible in all of our food shows, demonstrations, magazines, newspaper articles. for a whole year, demonstrating the true versatility and uniqueness of Valley products and products from all over the beautiful state of California. I will mention your service once a week on my cooking show, like I'm doing right now here on Grilling Ideas, which has a really, really big audience that's worldwide. And like I said, what we're doing here at Grilling Ideas is changing the industry of radio, and I'm very proud to be associated with every single hardworking man and woman in this business who works for this station. So special thanks to you, Grill. I appreciate everything, my friend. And your business will go on my website for a whole year, which is getting about 10,000 hits pretty much every month right now, which isn't too bad. So we're doing really, really well. We want to share this with everybody. And like I said, I'd love to have you. So what we want to do here on the Untamed Chef, usually we bring on guest chefs and everything, but a lot of time, you know what, I really just want to share with you guys my knowledge of this. You know, I've been very blessed to win the amount of contests I've won in such a short amount of time, to be given the opportunities I've been given. I've had a very blessed career, and we just want to continue sharing with it. But I was reading something that was very interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you guys because I absolutely love you, and I adore every one of you. And without you, we couldn't have Grilling Ideas Radio. So to all the fans and all the real foodies and the real gourmets out there, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And there's also archived shows, so if you feel that this is something you want to share, www.grillingideasradio.com. You can download the archive shows, send them all over the world. We appreciate it. So here we go. This was a breaking news story that I saw on a food website, and I figured we've got to share this because this is very important. It says, a norovirus caused outbreak among NAACP conference attendees in California. And this is a source called Newsdesk. November 8, 2014, the San Mateo County Health Department has announced that a norovirus was the bug that sickened dozens of people at an NAACP conference in Redwood City, California. Approximately 60 people fell ill with nausea and vomiting symptoms of a norovirus infection after attending the 27th annual NAACP California Hawaii State Convention in Redwood City, south of San Francisco and north of San Jose. Attendees began to feel ill after hour in the banquet on October, in the banquet. The latest update from San Mateo County Health Department brings the illness count up to 60 from the 40 originally thought to be affected, and confirms that those who were tested were infected with norovirus, according to the San Jose Mercury News. Former Oakland mayor was also reportedly among those sickened in the outbreak. The hotel stopped serving food in the wake of the outbreak as the health officials conducted the investigation that has taken steps to sanitize everything properly. Okay, so here's a couple things we need to know, first of all. Anybody in this business, anybody in this industry knows, they should know what a norovirus is. This is Serve Save 101. But what we're going to do is we're just going to break it down a little bit because, well, first of all, you guys all have the right to know exactly what is going on here, because what a norovirus does, it causes diarrhea, it causes vomiting. Most norovirus, what they're spread of is by not washing hands. Now, it's funny because when we go to a restaurant, we go there trusting we're going to get the best service possible. We're going to get the most amazing experience. However, there's this old rule that I have, and I can't remember where I learned it from, but it's something that's done me well, and I've been very blessed and very fortunate. And you can always tell how dirty a kitchen is in a restaurant if you go and look at the bathroom. If the bathroom has toilet paper and you know, there is, you know, garbage around there, it doesn't even look like the sink's been wiped, simple things like that. And I have walked out of many establishments, and I am telling you all the truth. This is very serious, because I take it very serious. It's very important. Even when I was cooking in any kitchen, the first thing I would always do is make sure, personally, that the bathrooms look very, very good. At least when I checked. And I would always make sure that my sous chef would go, at least, you know, just poke your head in there. You know, every 30, 45 minutes, you know, at least during the busy time, because it's very important. We're talking about reputations on the line here. I'm not too sure who the chef and his team were that cooked this meal, but I can say this is very damaging to a reputation. This can close your doors. This can send people running. And do you blame them at all? Do you really blame them? We get paid because people trust that we are practicing sanitation, cleanliness to the fullest that we could possibly practice it. And we as chefs, we as professionals, have standards we must keep. I mean, no disrespect to any man or woman, and I have to say woman because you know what? I don't want to get hassled about it, who wants to have a beard. However, if you're working in the kitchen, I've never allowed it in my kitchen. That's my own personal thing. I have no disrespect towards anybody that has a beard. Absolutely not. But I've dealt with too many problems where facial hair got on the plates. And this is my reputation on the line because I'm the chef here. And I take it very serious. So my biggest concern is this. A neurowalk virus, it causes problems in our gastric chamber. It causes us, you know, like I said, either vomiting, diarrhea, it's in that nature, and it happens instantly. Within an hour, these people were diagnosed with a neurowalk virus. And it's very, very serious because I don't want to throw any names out there, but we have eaten at some places. And instantly, I feel sick. I know when something's not right. And 9 out of 10 times when it's not and I don't feel too good, I go to the restaurant where I had just eaten. And I poke my head in that kitchen, and I don't care what anybody tells me. And it's a disaster. So you kind of learn to pick and choose. Where do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? But remember this, don't just take it from Yelp. Oh, they got 4.5 stars. That doesn't mean a darn thing. You have to remember, we are basing our opinions off of what tastes good. But before that, before anything can taste good, it needs to be clean. And I'm trying to help everybody because I don't ever want anybody to experience these noroviruses. They're absolutely horrible. And me personally, I don't like being uncomfortable and having to deal with those kinds of problems, especially after I just paid a lot of money to eat somewhere. So that's what I'm telling you. The best way to stop a norovirus, wash your hands, shave, you know, shower regularly. This is for my chefs. This isn't for everybody else. But this is just basic 101. Because the minute a piece of this virus gets in the body, it's going to, without a doubt, start causing major side effects. According to Wikipedia, it's called a winter vomiting bug. And we don't want this to happen to people. This has caused, in the UK, over 200,000 deaths a year. And we don't want anybody to fall victim to this at all. I don't want anybody who listens to Brilliant Ideas Radio to leave this show and not learn something, because we're here to educate, to demonstrate, and to appreciate. And if we're going to make this happen, we have to be showing you and teaching you that there is a way to solve these issues, and it's quite simple. This, food professional, chefs, cooks, whatever you call yourself, wash your hands. People are paying you money so they can eat your food. The least you can do is wash your hands. And you know what? I even go a step up. Wear gloves while you cook. You have to do what you have to do sometimes. And, you know, especially with a lot of these, you know, a lot of these diseases and things we don't even know about. Why risk it? Why take a chance getting sick or getting somebody else sick? And that's some game that I do not play at all. And without a doubt, I care about every one of you. And the main thing that I'm trying to do is teach you this. that when you go out to eat, you are there to be served. We are your humble servants. We accept that lifestyle when we become a chef. And we are a humble servant. And we are here to work hard and to cook the best we can possibly cook for you. So it's not being grumpy and it's not too much, but if you see a problem with a bathroom that doesn't look appropriate, don't be afraid to say, hey, you know what? We need to get this taken care of, because you have every single right as a consumer and as a paying customer to ask for whatever it is that you want when you go to a restaurant. So like I said, wash your hands, wash your face, wash every part of your body. You'll stop the spread of neuroviruses, and you won't be responsible, you know, for 40 out of 60 people getting sick that are at a conference. And for whatever chef that was that happened to, my prayers go out to you and your family, because that can destroy your career. And I absolutely wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And that's very, very sincere, that I would never wish that upon nobody. And I mean that. Okay, so there's our news. And what we want to do on the Untamed Chef is we want to break down some kind of a news story every week, because we want everybody to understand we are a very real food radio show. And as a food radio show, we're going to hit every single topic. So we're getting everybody informed on what's going on. So now it's time for a recipe breakdown. Now, this is the first time we're really doing this. So what I wanted to do was demonstrate to everybody, and you know, you don't even have to close your eyes here. It might help, though, because one thing that I love to do before I even taste anything, I close my eyes, and this is, I guess, what makes me unique. Some say crazy. And I'll take a little bit of both, to be quite honest with you. If you tell me, okay, we're having a ribeye, okay, I'm tasting ribeye, and it's going to have, you know, caramelized serrano chili and bacon jam. Now I'm putting all these flavors together in my mind. This is actually enhancing my dining experience, because now I'm tasting the food in my mind. I'm breathing this wonderful food in, and now I'm actually tasting it in my mouth. So this is just, this is the way I eat, you know. And you could ask my wife, she'll laugh about it all the time. When Albert eats, he takes his time. He really appreciates the food, and I do. And I promise you guys, I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to break down eggs. The first egg we have is over easy. So before we start an over easy egg, we need to remember there are certain steps that must go into play. The first one is, we need to have a pan, a non-stick pan that is specifically only designated and designed for making eggs, not for making anything else. One of the biggest problems I have is with my wife and my kids always getting into my stuff. They get the pan and they cook all kinds of different stuff in it. I got to buy a new one. Luckily, I've been on the same pan that I've had now probably for about 4 years, which is a record, and I'm trying to keep it longer than that. The pan never sticks. It's specifically designed for making eggs. So what I do with an over easy is we want to put enough fat in the pan just to coat it to where we can actually start moving this product around. And that's exactly what we want to do. We don't want to put – I like to use a mixture of butter and vegetable oil. And I just, you know, put about – I want to say maybe about – a half a tablespoon in there, maybe even less than that. I just want to get the pan where it's got that oil coat. Once the oil coat's in there, I grab just a terry cloth towel, take off the excess fat just so that bottom is nice and shiny. Low heat, I'm going to drop my egg in the pan very gently. Once the egg is in the pan, we just want to let it, we want to let it cook. Now, here's one of the most misunderstood things about a fried egg, that it needs to be fried. It needs to have crispies all over it. And that's not true. When I do an egg that's fried, it's fried, but it's not fried. If that doesn't make any sense, I'll break it down here. I don't want the egg to be burnt on the bottom. I don't want the egg to get a texture on it that it's not supposed to have. An egg is supposed to have a nice, smooth texture, no crispies on it at all. It's supposed to be just this nice, beautiful, white, you know, color. It's not supposed to have, you know, brown on it. And that's just, that's my own personal thing. So one thing that I see a lot of people do is they grab the egg and they feel like they got to like just throw it in the air. And I don't know where this started, but I can tell you as the Untamed Chef, I'm here to break it because I don't believe in it at all. If you can move the egg around in the pan, all you got to do is get the egg to the very front of the pan and just give it a nice little thrust. That egg will flip itself. So you heard it from me, everybody. You don't got to grab the egg, throw it up in the air to get this perfect, you know, over easy egg. You just got to put it to the front of the pan, let it go there, and you can start seeing it going back and forth right on the lip of that pan. Give it a nice thrust. It'll flip over itself, and there you go. That's how you do not break an egg. It's very, very easy. Over hard, we're going to start off the same as we would an over easy. After that egg has been cooking in the pan for about a good 20 seconds, I'm going to pop the center of that yolk. Once I pop the center of that yolk, I give that egg a flip. I let that cook down a little bit, and maybe about another 30, 40 seconds, flip it again, another 30, 40 seconds, and the egg is done. It's really, really easy, guys. And that's what I'm trying to demonstrate to you, that when we do eggs, we don't got to, you know, go and do all these ridiculous things. It's very, very simple. It's very beautiful. Most people don't understand, but a chef's toque has all these little lines in it, these little ripples. And most people don't understand, but that's a chef's way of showing how many different ways he can cook an egg. And it's been a while since culinary school, since I can even tell you how many are in there. But I think it was like 160 or something like that. I could be wrong. If I am, you know, send me a Facebook and I'll clarify that next week. But it's very important to understand this. When we're cooking, we are in control. We are in charge. If that egg breaks, it's because we broke it, not because the egg was no good. I mean, I would recommend that anybody that's going to cook an egg use, you know, grade AA eggs because they're made to take a little bit of, you know, a little bit of pressure. They're made to fall a little bit. I mean, not literally. You drop an egg on the floor, it's going to leak all over the floor and it's going to be no good. But I'm just saying they can take a little bit of punishment, if that's the right word. So those eggs know how to take the pain. It's very important because we want to make sure that we're educating people how to do this. And I strongly suggest, if you're in front of a stove right now and you got some eggs, try this. And I guarantee you, it'll work. It has worked. It's done great things for me. And I've trained every single cook, line cook, everyone under me how to use this technique. And it's done them very well. Okay, so with scrambled eggs now, one of the biggest misconceptions with scrambled eggs is they're supposed to be rubbery or they're not fully cooked. That's not true. What I'm going to do is I usually take about two eggs. I put them in a measuring cup. And I add about a half a cup of cream. I like my eggs light. I like them fluffy, and I like them beautiful. Now, when you're doing a scrambled egg, you're going to put the heat on about a medium to medium high, never all the way high, because when you put it all the way high, that's how we end up, you know, burning things, and we absolutely do not want to do that. So what I like to do is I grab the scrambled egg, I throw them on, and immediately you'll start to see them start sizzling because this pan is hotter now. And we're just using the exact same amount of fat. We don't got to change the amount of fat because, remember, we have a seasoned pan, and that pan is going to keep doing us justice as long as we take care of it and we don't cook anything else in the pan. So once I have the eggs inside of the pan, I'm going to grab my – I can't even think straight. Are you guys kidding me? Amazing, huh? Yeah, it's been a funny day today. I've been fighting a little bit of a cold, but you know what? We're still hanging in there. But we grab our rubber spatula, we grab the eggs, put them to the center of the pan. This is called draining the omelet. Now, if we were going to do an omelet, this is the way we would go straight up. We would put it all to the center, put it all to the center, put it all to the center until eventually there's no more liquid. We would give it a flip, turn off the heat completely, put the cheese in there, put the tomatoes, whatever we want to put in there. If you're doing it in Denver, you would do bell peppers, ham, you know, and cheese and onion. Whatever you want to put in them, the sky's the limit. Now, the only difference with scrambled eggs is once they're actually in that pan, instead of folding them like I was telling you we do, we would just mix the heck out of them real fast with that rubber spatula. And once that rubber spatula is doing its thing, and it's easy street from there. And the trick that I've always told everybody who's cooked on a breakfast line with me, or I've taught them how to cook on a breakfast line, is the eggs need to look wet. And I know most of you guys are like, no, that's not fully cooked and yada, yada, yada. But I promise you, if they do not look wet by the time they leave the kitchen and get to the client, the customer, whoever's there to eat those eggs, they're going to be very, very rubbery. And that is the worst thing. Rubbery eggs is such a sacrilege personally, because the egg is such a beautiful thing. You know, this wonderful bird gave up its life so that you, you know, realistically speaking, can eat its young. So if you're going to do justice, at least do it right. That's very important to me. And the last egg I have is the poached egg. Now, here's what I love to do with poached eggs is I like to get my water simmering. Once the water is simmering in a just a little pot, a little sauce pot, whatever you're going to do the eggs in, depending on how many you're going to do, I throw a tablespoon of vinegar into the water. Now, what this is going to do is when you drop the egg in, it's got to be simmering. It can't be boiling. If it's boiling, this won't work. But if it's simmering and you drop that tablespoon of vinegar into the water, then drop the egg in there, then turn the heat up, the eggs will never break. They'll always stay intact. They'll be beautiful. You'll have a perfectly poached egg in about 35 to 40 seconds, depending on how high. Usually, it's about 35 seconds for a very, very nice, over-easy poached egg. And with most people wanting to eat healthy and, you know, eat with a lot more confidence and being heart healthy and wanting to change their eating habits, period, but still enjoying the pure protein of an egg, it's absolutely beautiful to be able to use the poaching egg method. Now, me personally, when I poach eggs, I poach them with an immersion circulator. You know, we start using a little bit more modernist technology, and I've never had anybody complain on an egg that I've made of that, I can promise you. So it absolutely has been a blessing to be able to pull out a consistent product through in and throughout. But if you guys have any questions regarding our breakdown of eggs and everything that we talked about tonight, I definitely want to hear from you. You can Facebook me at Albert J. Hernandez, The Untamed Chef. My page is on there. My personal Facebook is on there. I would love to talk with you. And like I said, we're looking for more sponsors. We want to make this thing happen, but it can only happen with your support. So I'm grateful for all of you. And now what we're going to go to is our fan Q&A. And the Q&A I have today is from Veronica P. out of Fresno, California. And she says, what is the difference between a bechamel and an Alfredo? And that's a really good question, because the funny thing is this. Most French restaurants that do an Alfredo will do a bechamel, and then they add Parmesan to it. Most restaurants now make a Parmesan Alfredo sauce just using cream. You know, they do wine, they do cream, shallots, garlic, and then they put a whole bunch of Parmesan in. It really thickens itself up. What I have noticed, though, is if you do the bechamel, a mother sauce, and a bechamel pretty much is a flavored, thickened milk that's very creamy. It's got that nice floury taste in it from the roux. It's really good stuff. Then you add Parmesan to it. That's pretty much the equivalent of what we're doing when we make an Alfredo sauce. However, the bechamel is a mother sauce, which means it can be so, so many different types of sauces. We could do a lot of amazing things from a bechamel. However, with heavy cream, you know, being as cheap as it is and accessible, I've seen a lot of normal sauces that you make with a bechamel sauce, and everyone's really just, you know, doing it just with heavy cream, which I guess works. However, it's still important to know the mother sauces and to understand their versatility, just because this is the way Escoffier did it, and this is the way we should do it, because in my opinion, you know, he's my hero, you know, when it comes to someone to look after and someone to pay attention to. We always want to pay attention to the people who are revolutionizing what we're doing. And in my opinion, Auguste Escoffier, he without a doubt revolutionized the culinary world. So it without a doubt, you know, I definitely listen. However, we take shortcuts sometimes. And the hardest thing about making your bechamel is you got to watch that and you've got to babysit it, because the milk only needs seconds to scald. And once it scalds, then you've got a problem, and then it's going to taste burnt, and then you can't serve that. I know I would never serve that. But that's pretty much the answer to it right there. If you want to have a really good Alfredo, I would just recommend use the thickened cream. A cream as your thickener, you know, garlic, shallots, a nice white wine, a lot of Parmesan cheese, white pepper, and salt. And without a doubt, I think you've got a really good product there. So, Veronica out of Fresno, thank you so much for your question there, because we definitely want to be here for everybody. And like I said, if you guys have questions and you want to have them answered by me and utilize me, use the opportunity that you have a chef of my caliber who's willing to share this advice and this knowledge, food-wise, kitchen-wise, whatever you want to call it, with all of you. It is without a doubt something I look forward to doing, and we're only going to keep getting better here at Grilling Ideas. So I want to thank everybody. Special thanks to Grilliant, to Carolyn, and to Lori. You guys are all rock stars. And like I said, we want to keep growing as a network, and we want to keep getting a huge fan base. So share it, archive it, download it. Everything, the sky's the limit on what we're trying to do here at Grilliant Ideas. So like I said here, Norwalk virus, wash your hands. Wash your face. Wash your body. I'm Chef Albert. God love you.
When you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.